The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 404 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. You know, I am rarely shocked by things that I read about pro athletes anymore. But the New York Times column on Peyton Manning was stunning to me. I really could not believe what I was reading. Much more on that coming up. And if you haven't read it yet, I suggest that you do. LeSean McCoy's in trouble with the law. That's been a very hot topic here in the Philadelphia area. The NBA should be happy with its All-Star weekend in Toronto. What a slam dunk contest. That was absolutely phenomenal Saturday night up in Toronto. What a show put on by Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. One of the best dunk contests ever, no doubt. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson squared off in the three-point shootout. That was cool. You got to see a couple of teammates with the Golden State Warriors going head-to-head. Kobe Bryant, big story this weekend, his final All-Star game. As usual, defense optional. Those were the two magic words when it comes to the NBA All-Star game. We'll get into all of the festivities coming up. And you know I love a good list, so I have one for you today, and it's related to the NBA. We're talking about jersey sales, the best-selling jerseys in the NBA. And one player who is in the top five surprised me. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up a little bit later in the show. So from now until then, you can think about it and get your guesses in as far as a guy whose jersey is really selling well, but you may not think of him right off the top of your head. Now, this is the point of the show where we're just getting started, and usually I'm fired up. I'm in a great mood, but as I record this in my office right now, I'm looking out the window, and it is snowing again. Now, it wasn't that long ago when we got 30 inches of snow. 30 inches. And now today, not only snow, then we get that beautiful mix of sleet and freezing rain. And of course, it's under 32 degrees, so it freezes up. You get ice. Driving is a mess. So I know at the top you're supposed to have a lot of energy and be very enthusiastic, very positive, get people all pumped up for the show, but I'm just keeping it real, folks, because after this I'm going to have to go out and shovel. So the next 25 to 30 minutes are probably going to be the most enjoyable 30 minutes of my day, because then it's back to breaking my back again, shoveling snow. This time it's only going to be a few inches. I'm just more worried about the road conditions out there. This is episode number 404 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts coming at you every Monday. We're on the Grizz. That is GrizzlyProductions.tv. A lot of cool shows there. And also new shows on iTunes. You can listen to previous shows as well. They are all there for your listening pleasure in the podcast section of iTunes. Let me know what you think about the show. Agree, disagree, you can sound off on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. All right, let's talk about Peyton Manning. Last night I'm watching SportsCenter, and they literally spent about 15 to 20 seconds on this story. And that was it. Now, this all came about, I'll give you the backstory here, because Peyton is among the athletes cited in a lawsuit that was filed by a group of women alleging that the University of Tennessee has violated Title IX regulations and created a, quote, hostile sexual environment through a policy of indifference toward assaults by student athletes. This federal suit was filed last week, and it states that Tennessee's policies made students more vulnerable to sexual assault and had a clearly unreasonable response after incidents that caused the women making complaints to endure additional harassment. The suit also states that the university interfered with the disciplinary process to favor male athletes. So that's the backstory. And within this suit is the incident with Peyton Manning that goes back to 1996. So we're talking about 20 years ago. And the lawsuit alleges that Peyton, who, you know, was a star quarterback at Tennessee at the time, played on some great teams. It alleges that he placed his genitals on the face of a female athletic trainer while she was examining him for an injury. Manning has denied that he assaulted the trainer. He says that he was mooning a teammate instead. Manning was never the subject of a police investigation in this case. The trainer's name is Dr. Jamie Nallwright, and she sued Peyton Manning. In documents that were filed on her behalf in this case, the player who Peyton Manning says he was mooning, Malcolm Saxon, refuted Peyton's account. Nallwright's lawsuit against Manning was settled back in 97 with the agreement that she leave the university. This incident cost her her job, and it wasn't the only time that she lost a job. Manning later wrote an autobiography in which he claimed that Nallwright had a vulgar mouth and described her and his interactions with her at Tennessee in a very unflattering light. 2003, Nallwright sued Manning again. She also sued his father Archie, the ghostwriter of the autobiography, John Underwood, and HarperCollins Publishers. On Saturday, the New York Daily News published a much more detailed description of both of Nallwright's lawsuits, including the facts of the case, which were filed in the 2003 defamation lawsuit. It is a lengthy piece by Sean King. So if you're in a rush, if you're in a hurry, if you're about to head out the door, you don't want to read it at that time. Make sure you can set aside some time. We're not talking about Facebook or Twitter here where you only have so many characters. This is a long column by Sean King, but it is very well sourced and it uses information directly from the court transcripts. I'm talking about 74 pages of documents. And King reveals that USA Today had this information 13 years ago, but did not do much with it. They did one story, and then there was one op-ed piece, and that was it. Now, listen, I cover sports for a living, so I'm looking at all the websites that you go to every single day. I still read the sports section in my local paper every single day. I'm watching SportsCenter every single night. And I never remember hearing about these allegations. I was shocked because how do we look at Peyton Manning? Squeaky clean, right? Can do no wrong. Hall of Fame quarterback, humble, well-spoken, face of the league, funny guy. He's in all those commercials, Papa John's, everything else. That's how we view Peyton Manning, kind of this all-American guy, right? And I know that this allegedly occurred when he was 19 years old, but that is no excuse. Not for what he's accused of doing here. Sorry. No excuse at all. And what he's accused of doing is clearly harassment and possibly assault. Granted, this story really only provides her side. But there's one particular piece of testimony that made me think this isn't some crazy lie that she just made up out of left field. Actually, there's more than one piece, but I'll get into that And much more detail coming up. Quick break to tell you about our great sponsor here, and that is iHome. From the portable color-changing IBT-74 to the 100% waterproof IBN-6, iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality, and that is a winning combination. iHome offers a full line of quality headphones and earbuds. If you're a fitness guru, you're on the treadmill or the elliptical all the time, or if you travel a lot, or you just like to hang out, relax, and use your earbuds at home, check it out, iHomeAudio.com. They have all of their apps there, all of their accessories. iHome is also the number one brand when it comes to digital speakers. And again, take a look at the IBT-74 and the IBN-6. All of their products on the website, they look cool, and the sound quality can't be beat. State of the art. iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode number 404, we'll get into LeSean McCoy. We'll talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend, that slam dunk competition, the three-point shootout, the game, Kobe Bryant, and also the best-selling jerseys. But back to this Peyton Manning story. Jamie Nallwright was the director of health and wellness for the men's athletic program at Tennessee. She was very bright. She was well-respected. In 1992, she had her master's and would get her doctorate a few years later. She had been at Tennessee for several years, so she was well-known around the university. She also served as medical director for the NCAA Track and Field Championships in 1995. She was on the training staff for the Olympic Trials for the 1996 Games in Atlanta. Very, very accomplished in her field. On February 29th of 1996, she was in a training room and she was examining a possible stress fracture in Peyton Manning's foot. At that time, Peyton allegedly put his testicles on her face. She pushed him away. She reported the incident to the Sexual Assault Crisis Center in Knoxville. According to court records, and this is all in the story, I can't get into every single detail because it would take hours, but I'm telling you, it is worth the read. According to the court records, Peyton initially denied it, and then the story came out that he was mooning another athlete. That athlete, again, Malcolm Saxon. One problem, Saxon, who lost his eligibility over this at Tennessee, he denied Peyton's story. And he wrote a letter saying, quote, "I had nothing to hide at that point, and I have nothing to hide today. I stuck to the truth. I'm not angry anymore, just a little tired of it. Peyton, you messed up. I still don't know why you dropped your drawers, but it was definitely inappropriate. Please take some personal responsibility and own up to what you did. I never understood why you did not admit to it. Coming clean is the right thing to do. Your celebrity does not mean you can treat folks this way." End quote. Now, Malcolm Saxon, he doesn't have a horse in the race here. He even mentions in his letter that he wasn't on one side or the other. And yet, those were his comments, which I think definitely adds some credibility to Dr. Jamie Nallwright's claims. In the end, she left Tennessee as part of a $300,000 settlement. However, in court documents, and this is something that I haven't heard a lot of other media members talk about today when they discuss this story, and maybe they didn't read the whole thing, but this is also very, very significant. In the court documents, she says that two school staff members approached her and asked if she would consider blaming this incident on a black athlete instead of Peyton Manning. She refused. She then got a job at Florida Southern College. She thinks she's moved on. It's done with, over with, right? Wrong. 2001, everything resurfaces because of Manning's autobiography, which addressed this incident and blasted Nallwright. she again filed a lawsuit. Archie Manning had told the ghostwriter of the book that Nallwright was going into dorms at Tennessee and having sex with several black athletes. Her attorneys got numerous statements from athletes and staff members at Tennessee who defended her character, defended her morals. That defamation suit was settled in 2003. Once again, the controversy over the book and the allegations cost her her job, this time at Florida Southern. If this is true, it is a despicable story. It is reprehensible. Not only sexual harassment, possibly sexual assault, but then on top of that, the Manning family, Peyton and Archie, destroyed this woman's reputation and her career, cost her two jobs. So I don't think this is something that we should just brush aside and say, oh, well, you know, kids will be kids and Peyton was 19. Listen, I was 19. And I was an athlete, not a college athlete. Many of you were athletes. Did you do what Peyton Manning is alleged to have done? I doubt it. So I would suggest that you read this piece by Sean King in the New York Times. Again, it's lengthy. It'll take some time, but I think it's worth it. And if this is true, it paints quite a different picture of Peyton Manning. If you have read the story, you want to give your thoughts on it, let me know on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT. We continue here on episode number 404 with LeSean McCoy, former Philadelphia Eagle. My radio station carries the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, that is the number one topic for the vast majority of the year. Year in and year out, Philadelphia Eagles. You look at the NFL ratings and you understand why. So this story has been talked about a lot. Now, a decision on a possible arrest warrant for McCoy, who is now with the Bills, of course, is expected this week. He's part of an investigation into an alleged nightclub assault against off-duty police officers that occurred not this weekend, but the weekend before. The DA's office wanted to be very thorough before determining possible charges, which I think is a smart move. You want to make sure you have all the facts here, get things right. A Philadelphia police official told Mark Schwartz with ESPN that McCoy was an active participant in this brawl. A source close to the investigation told ESPN that the off-duty police officers will not face disciplinary charges. A statement released by Philadelphia police said two off-duty officers were injured in a nightclub fight with four men ages 26 through 30 around 2:45 a.m. on a Sunday. So they're out Saturday night. This happened at Recess Lounge in Old City. A former NFL running back, Curtis Brinkley, who was a high school star in Philadelphia, then played at Syracuse. He was allegedly part of McCoy's group, as was TJ Porter, who was a teammate of McCoy's at the University of Pittsburgh. Now, the argument started, and you just can't make this stuff up. It's unbelievable. The argument started over a bottle of champagne and whose bottle it was. No, I'm not kidding. Police say that pushing and shoving over the bottle led to one of the off-duty officers being knocked to the ground. And while he was on the ground, he was punched, he was kicked, he was stomped on. And another off-duty officer joined with the security at the club to help break this one up. The officer knocked to the ground was treated for a cut to his right eye, a broken nose, broken ribs, sprained thumb. The officer who broke up the fight was also admitted to a hospital. He received 8 stitches over his left eye and was receiving treatment for a possible skull fracture. So we're not kidding around here. Both officers who had been hospitalized have been released. John McNesby is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge Number 5. It's a police union. And he said, quote, "This was an all-out beatdown with broken bones and serious injuries. These officers are hurting. They're in pain. These are serious injuries." Now, we haven't heard the other side of the story yet from Shady McCoy and the people that were with him. One thing that bothers me about modern-day media is the constant rush to judgment, the rush to give a take on incidents like this, which are very, very serious incidents. You hear talk show hosts all the time speculating about what they think happened, but they weren't there. They don't know. The video that's on TMZ is not clear as to what actually happened, yet there's this rush to get an opinion out there. And it's garbage. It's meaningless talk. It's just guys flapping at the gums who really have no clue what went down. In my opinion, it's just a big waste of time. But stories like this, they create a lot of buzz. LeSean McCoy is a player that's very well known in the NFL. You hear that name, you know right away. You know, it wasn't that long ago he was leading the league in rushing yards, all-pro running back, one of the best in the business. And then you hear about a fight with off-duty police officers. Now listen, you could be a police officer, you could be a firefighter, you could be a doctor, you could be a pastor. It doesn't always mean that you're a good person. Just because you have a certain job, you're in a certain profession, does not mean that you're a role model, that you're a great person. Now, I've said the same thing about professional athletes for many, many years, as long as I've been on the air. I don't view pro athletes as role models. We've discussed this topic before here on the Sports Report podcast. Can they be a role model? Yes. But just because you're an athlete, it's a given that you're a role model? Absolutely not. I mean, how many stories have we heard of athletes getting in trouble over and over and over again? You saw the Ray Rice video. We're hearing all the stories now with Johnny Football. I mean, there are countless examples. Greg Hardy is another one that comes to mind. So I don't think just because you're an athlete, you should be a role model. Unfortunately, I think standards in journalism have gone way down. So there's a lot of misinformation that gets out there nowadays. Just last week, remember the reports, and ESPN was reporting it, and they weren't alone. Several major media outlets were reporting that Kings head coach George Karl was going to get fired. It was in the headlines. Karl firing imminent. Imminent. Well, guess who's still the coach of the Kings? George Karl. And in this LeSean McCoy story, there were reports that arrest warrants were coming last week. Like last Wednesday, last Thursday. Wrong again. Now we hear that the DA's office is taking its time. And I'm fine with that. That's what they should do. And then we had a video that was posted on a website of McCoy allegedly saying, "I made a mistake." I've listened to the audio. I've watched the video. I can't tell what he says. And the guy filming it even asks him to repeat his answer because obviously he couldn't tell. But he claims McCoy said, "I made a mistake," which doesn't look good if you're LeSean McCoy. Now, McCoy's new attorney says that LeSean was misquoted, and he really said, "I'll have a statement." Big, big difference between saying, "I made a mistake," and "I'll have a statement." My point is, there's a lot of stories out there, and it's this rush to be first now, to have breaking news, and you throw things out there. Not all of it's true. This week, though, we are expected to find out about possible arrest warrants. And listen, again, I wasn't there. You weren't there. We don't know how these officers were behaving. You know, they were off duty. I mean, maybe they had too much to drink. We don't know. So much speculation about that. And as we get more information, I'll definitely keep you posted. But I'm not going to go on and on and on speculating on what happened, because we don't have the information. Let's get to a much more positive topic. Thank goodness, after the first couple stories on today's show. Let's talk about All-Star Weekend in Toronto. If you haven't seen the slam dunk contest yet at the NBA's All-Star Weekend, what on God's green earth are you waiting for? It was outstanding. One of the best of all time. No doubt. And I don't throw around the word great like a lot of my colleagues do in the media industry. They use the word great every other second. This was truly great. It wasn't good or very good. It was great. Zach LaVine from Minnesota, Aaron Gordon from Orlando did some crazy stuff. LaVine took off from the foul line more than once. Remember, that used to be it. If you dunk from the foul line, game over. He did a little windmill from the foul line, and his clincher, the one that wrapped up the title, he took off from the foul line, went between his legs, and dunked it. I mean, the hang time is amazing with these guys. Same for Gordon. He used the Magic's mascot, Stuff the Magic Dragon, which is kind of clever. He used Stuff on a number of his dunks. Stuff was on a hoverboard. How those things work, I have no idea. I just know I'd probably break an ankle if I got on a hoverboard. Anywho, he grabbed the basketball from Stuff, the mascot. He put it between his legs, and he dunked it. And then his best dunk, and I thought this was even better than LaVine's from the foul line between his legs. The best dunk of the night to me was Gordon grabbing the basketball with one hand from Stuff, putting it under his legs, and then dunking it with his other hand. It looked like he was almost sitting on top of Stuff, the mascot. This is a tall mascot. I mean, his head is up at the rim. Now, they were so good. They needed not one, but two final round tiebreakers. Double overtime here. LaVine eventually won it with a 50 to Gordon's score of 47. But both guys brought the national spotlight back to the slam dunk competition. We had some lean years, right? I mean, a lot of lean years where guys, they couldn't even make the dunk. You know, I remember the one year that they were complaining about how many times they got to attempt it. I mean, they just kept trying it over and over and over. It's like, enough already. Can we please move on? You can't make the dunk. This was phenomenal. So LaVine wins it. He is now the two-time defending champ. Not only the physical greatness that it takes to pull off these dunks, the athletic ability, but the creativity I was impressed with as well. A lot of new stuff was out there. As for the three-point shootout, Klay Thompson beat his buddy Steph Curry and his teammates from Golden State. 27-23 was the score in the final round. The Splash Brothers going at it. Curry made seven in a row to open up his final round, but Thompson was even better. Overall, he shot 74%. 74%. There are some NBA players that can't shoot that from the foul line, let alone the three-point line. He was 19 for 25 in the finals and 18 for 25 in the first round. No wonder the Golden State Warriors are the best team in the NBA. You have two guys who do not miss when they are open from beyond the arc. So that Saturday night was awesome. This three-point shootout, the dunk contest, and then Sunday night you get the game. And listen, you know the routine here. It's going to be one alley-oop after another. No-look passes, three-point shots, zero defense. Well, the final score, I hope you took the over. Final score, 196 for the West, 173 for the East. The highest scoring All-Star game of all time. 48 more points than the previous year, which had set the record. 369 points in this game. Oh my goodness. 196 to 173. Whew. Paul George had 41, just one shy of Wilt Chamberlain's record. Russell Westbrook was at it again. He had 31. He earned his second straight All-Star MVP award. He was having a lot of fun out there. Kobe Bryant, in his final All-Star game, had 10 points. Didn't shoot it real well, 4 of 11. 7 assists, 6 rebounds. But it was a nice tribute to Kobe Bryant. They showed a video of him before the game. Magic Johnson was out there to introduce him. Listen, is one of the best two guards to ever play. No debate. He's one of the best. 18 all-star selections. Only one man has more, and that is Mr. Skyhook, Kareem. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has more. That's it. Then it's Kobe as far as being named to the all-star game. The West has won 5 of the last 6. No surprise there. We all know, as Jim Morrison of the Doors said, the West is the best. Big picture, there was a buzz surrounding All-Star Weekend again, and I think that is a good thing for the NBA, because we've had some years where the dunk competition just was not good at all. Three-point shootout, nothing great. And you know what you're getting in the All-Star game. You're getting alley-oops and a lot of dunks and things like that. But after you watch it, because every single possession's a dunk, I mean, after you see that for a while, it's like, all right. I actually was going back and forth watching the Flyers-Rangers game and then flipping back to the NBA All-Star game. But that dunk competition, I'm not going to say it was better than Jordan versus Dominique back in the day, but it's one of the best. Definitely one of the best. Let me know what you thought about All-Star Weekend, the dunk contest, the three-point shootout, the game itself, Kobe Bryant. You can weigh in on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That is the handle for the Sports Report podcast. Again, on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. All right, we're at the All-Star break, and Knicks rookie power forward Kristaps Porzingis is making an impact on and off of the court. I was surprised to learn that Porzingis, who was the 4th overall pick in the draft, has the 4th best-selling jersey in the entire league. Now, these numbers are based on sales from October through the end of last year at the NBA's online store. Porzingis is the only rookie in the top 15. He only trailed Steph Curry, who's the MVP, LeBron James, former MVP, and the guy we just talked about, Kobe Bryant, who is retiring. So people want to get his jersey now. Those players you would expect to see up top. But Porzingis at number 4? That's right. The rest of the list, 2 Oklahoma City Thunder players, Kevin Durant, number 5. Westbrook, number 7. So he sold more jerseys than Kevin Durant. He had a couple Chicago Bulls on this list. Derrick Rose, number 6. Jimmy Butler, number 10. Kyrie Irving of the Cavs and Rockets for James Harden finished 8th and 9th, respectively, on this list. Butler makes his debut as a member of the best-selling jersey list. What a player he is now, too. He may not quite match Derrick Rose as far as selling jerseys, but I think we all agree he is the better player right now. That's saying a lot, because a few years ago, Rose was the MVP, just not able to stay healthy. Back to Porzingis. Through 54 games, the 20-year-old from Latvia has been averaging 14 points, which is 3rd among rookies, 8 rebounds, 2nd to Karl-Anthony Towns, leads rookies in blocks 2 a game, leads them in free throw shooting percentage, 85%. The Zinger has also made 61 three-pointers. Now, how many guys who are 7'3" and not named Nowitzki are pulling the trigger from three-point land that often? I mean, it's remarkable the size of this guy, how he can step out and shoot it. And I will admit, I ripped the Knicks for taking Porzingis at number 4, and I wasn't alone. A lot of the draft gurus thought he was a project, wasn't ready to compete at the NBA level. They didn't think he was strong enough at just 20 years old. That'd take a couple years for him before he could come over and contribute. Wrong. And the Knicks get the last laugh here because the guy can play. Tremendous upside. Some are comparing him to Nowitzki because he can shoot it from deep. I don't think Porzingis can put the ball on the deck as well as Dirk, but hey, I mean, that could come down the road. He's only 20. Upside is huge, and the New York fans love him, as evidenced by the jersey sales. Now, during the draft, I thought New York should select Emmanuel Mudiay, the 6'5 point guard, or Justice Winslow from Duke. Moutier went number 7 to Denver, and he's played well. Double digits in points, about 6 assists, playing about 30 minutes a game. Winslow's coming off the bench for Miami. The Heat got him at number 10, which I thought was a steal on draft night. And he's given about 6 points, about 5 rebounds, playing under 30 minutes a game. All three of them could end up being very good players. You know, sometimes when people have debates, they act like somebody's got to be the next Will Chamberlain and the other guy has to be an absolute stiff. You know, it doesn't work out. They all can be good players. Bottom line, though, size matters in the NBA. Porzingis is 7'3". With rare offensive skills. So credit to the Knicks front office. A lot of us have bashed the Knicks for many, many, many years. Credit to the Knicks. Credit to their scouts. They made a bold choice. They didn't make the safe play. They went out on a limb. Took a lot of heat. But now they look really, really good. They are the last ones to laugh right now. So I want to know, are you buying Porzingis stock? We like to play the stock up, stock down game. Well, we know his stock is definitely up. Are you sold hook, line, and sinker on Kristaps Porzingis with the New York Knickerbockers? Let me know on Twitter. And are you surprised that he has the 4th best-selling jersey in the entire league, ahead of Durant, ahead of Westbrook, ahead of Harden, ahead of Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose? I mean, it is impressive. He's only behind Steph Curry, LeBron, and Kobe Bryant. People are buying his jerseys left and right. So let me know what you're thinking on Twitter. Again, I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Thank you for tuning in. Now I get to go outside and shovel. Yippee! I'd rather stick that old rusty nail right in my eyeball. Have a great week, everybody. Hopefully you don't have to shovel. Hopefully you're staying warm where you're at. Can baseball season get here? Please. Please. Not just because I like baseball, but because it means I won't have to shovel anymore. Again, I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, the weird guy around the corner that you don't even talk to. Tell him about the show. We're with you every Monday. That'll do it. Have a great week. This has been episode number 404 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.